that would come up, that would be my, how can we do the impact of local policies? We are looking at having provisions for that first budget.
So in the first budget, the living wage for all core public service employees
based on the ordinary cost of living,
so it would effectively be a minimum wage rate. Is that how you
The minimum wage and the living wage are two very different and separate things, because the minimum wage applies economy-wide. What we're saying is that within the core public service, we would take a leadership position. And frankly, there are only a relatively limited number of civil servants who are currently below the living wage, which is why it is an affordable commitment to make at this point. We will roll it out as we can afford it within a responsible fiscal frame.
So how quickly would someone in the core public service get to that immediately after the 2020 budget?
That's a detail I'll come back to you on. As I say, it's our intention subject to the provisions of fiscal responsibility for us to include this in
the Doesn't that have the potential to cause resentment among the wider economy about public servants getting paid when other people might be struggling on low wages?
Well, you have to start somewhere, and I believe that we in government have to walk the talk of fairness and decency in the workplace, which is why we believe in the civil example and why we intend to use government procurement in a way that we can give some preference to certified living wage employers to encourage the private sector to follow suit where they can.
You changed slightly from your promise on during the leadership campaign, because then you talked about contracts receiving it. I take it you're no longer talking about contracts.
No, I think you can see this in several steps. Contractors obviously can be covered by the point I've just made, which is that an incentive in the government procurement system for certified living wage employers will encourage that. So within the Crown sector, you start with a core civil service, you then roll out to Crown entities, and then you look at what you can do with contracting. So I don't think we've changed the commitment. What we are doing is saying that we need to balance that with responsible fiscal management. We'll do both.
Contractors wouldn't get it right away, so spotless employees wouldn't be the government, like the cleaners in Parliament.
Well, it would not be our aim to develop this certified living wage employer preference scheme as quickly as we can, and obviously that will create an incentive for any company, including spotless employees.
What sort of costings have been done on the $15 minimum wage?
I haven't got that number with me, but from memory, I believe it's a relatively modest cost to prepare for a living wage.
How quickly would Labor get to 26 weeks paid on the leave? Would that be a first 100 days?
It's a commitment that we have talked about being our intention in our first term, and it is my hope that we can do it reasonably soon within our first term. But look, we don't know exactly what the state of the books is going to be yet, and we're having to balance that with the need to be fiscally responsible, which we will be.
Also, how much would you spend about remission of student loans for nurses? Is that something that you...
We've said that we are attracted to aspects of the government's bonding scheme, where they allow doctors and some nurses, I believe, to go out and work in regional New Zealand. We see building on that as part of a broader regional government strategy. We relate to releasing the details later.
So you weren't talking about remission of student loans for nurses coming back from overseas to help the wholesale workforce here?
Not specifically, although I wouldn't rule out that being...
So that would be a possibility that you would...
In my speech, that we would be looking at building on what the government has actually started in the area of bonding for various professions who are prepared to go and work in the region.
But that's quite different. Bringing them back from their ROE.
I don't think the words I used were specific to bringing people back from overseas, but I wouldn't necessarily exclude that. We've got more work to do on that policy, exactly saying that we are attracted to the idea of expanding bonding provisions for regional New Zealand and to retain people in New Zealand.
Bringing people back from overseas and remitting student loans, wouldn't that send a message of go overseas and you'd be disadvantaged if you actually stay in New Zealand?
No, look, I think you're building on a previous question, which I haven't confirmed in my response.
But you said you
hadn't
ruled it out.
No, we haven't ruled anything out. Mm. We've got more work to do in this area. We're simply saying that there is some attraction to the idea of bonding schemes.
How important was it to you to sort of give your first major speech to the to a union audience?
I've been giving a few speeches since I took office, but this is a very important core audience for Labor, and we are part of a Labor movement, as I said in there, which is all about bringing fairness and decency to our workplaces and us can live good and decent lives and be a little better off than they are. So it's a very happy coincidence that I have the opportunity to underline our primary campaign commitments, to reaffirm them as leader of the Labor Party, and to say that we are going to do exactly what we said.
Because you made a reference to the fact that that you would really need them to be organising to get that vote out this time. To what extent do you feel that they might have been absent at the last election?
I'm really not in the best position to say. What I do know is that there is, I believe, a mood change on in New Zealand. I see it every day when I'm out in the regions, where people are coming up and asking, almost begging us, to get rid of the current government and to bring a sense of fairness to workplaces. I think that with good organisation and with clarity of purpose, a lot of the people who couldn't be bothered voting last time will sure as heck be bothered next time.
People are coming up to you and begging you to get rid of the current government.
On the street in Dunedin yesterday, literally grabbed my arm, begging me to get rid of John Key and the national government because they've had a guts fall.
How closely do your policies align with that of the Council of Trade Unions?
There's a reasonable degree of overlap. We're not committing to doing everything on the timetable that the CTU would like, and obviously, as I said in my remarks, it's got to be part of a package that includes sustainable, responsible economic development so that we lift productivity and lift wages sustainably.
And how often do you envisage that you'll be meeting with Helen Kelly?
Pretty regularly. It's a very important constituency group for us, but I'll also be meeting with Phil O'Reilly at Business New Zealand and Connor English at Federated Farmers and a whole lot of other people who are core stakeholders in the New Zealand economy.
Coming back to that $15 minimum wage, you said that it would be relatively conservative cost to the core public service, but obviously it would have wider costs for
with the
private sector.
Yep.
So have you got any costings?
I haven't got the number, but I can come back to you on that.
How quickly would you guys, how quickly would Labor scrap that, scrap the youth rates?
I've indicated in my speech today that there are a whole package of measures that would roll back the current government's anti-worker agenda, which we would strongly consider as part of our first 100 days.
So youth rates could go in the first 100
days?
Could
be part of the first 100 days.
And the right to farm.
And the right to farm.
The Retirement Commissioner today suggests pegging the age of retirement to our life expectancy, which essentially raises our retirement age. What do you think about it?
Well, look, Labor does have a policy of trying to ensure that publicly funded superannuation is sustainable and there for all New Zealanders into the future, and we have to realise that we live in a country with a rising life expectancy. That's a good thing. We have to be able to balance the books, both now and in the long term, and so Labor has said that from 2020 we will see a gradual age of the retirement age up to 67. We're also very set on making sure that that's done in a way that is fair and equitable to all, including people who aren't always in the workforce and people who are doing manual jobs whose bodies are worn out. And we'll be doing more work on those equity and fairness issues.
John Key's increasingly on his own at keeping it at 65, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't believe that John Key's telling New Zealanders the truth about this problem. I believe he understands very, very well that there's a huge fiscal hole in the out years if something responsible change is not made. The trick is to do it, to signal it early so New Zealanders have every opportunity to make the adjustments in their personal lives that they need to do, to be upfront and honest with New Zealanders. And I don't believe he is being that.
Māori Television reported that one Labour MP hadn't pledged loyalty to you. Is that correct?
No, it's not. We've had a general discussion about the need to work together as a team, and I'm absolutely delighted that our entire caucus is locked in behind our common goal of winning the 24th of the election.
34 out of 34.
Yes, indeed.
Have you sought loyalty pledges individually?
No.
In no shape or form whatsoever?
No.
Have you spoken to Trevor Mallard?
Yes.
What's he been doing?
In what regard?
Well, he's been overseas.
He's back in New Zealand and I'm working hard for his electorate.
Was he at the caucus in Dunedin?
No, he had a speech that he had, previously committed to, which is an important speech.
So you think his trip to San Francisco was all above board?
Yes, I do.
What was he doing there?
Supporting Team New Zealand. He's our sport and recreation spokesperson and he'll have primary responsibility for supporting the America's Cup.
Will he stand again at the next election?
I imagine that he will. Okay.
Yes.